Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
It's good to be here. It's good to see you all. Some of the faces I recognize and some of you who I do not know. But it still feels like home in a sense to us. So it is good to see you all. And I trust that the word the Lord gave me to preach to you this morning would be beneficial. And I first had to go dig deep and find my English roots again. Because I now only use English for self-defense. But I trust the Lord will help all of us. Well, let's just open with prayer. Lord, we need you. We need you to help us to understand those things that we simply do not grasp. We need you, Holy Spirit, to awaken in our minds and our hearts a passion for Christ and a desire to live for Him in such a way that it brings maximum glory to His name. We worship you this morning, God, as the only God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is none like you. Only you are worthy to be praised and to be honored. So we pray this morning, Father, that we would walk out of this church building today, challenged but also encouraged. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to speak on the topic of forgiveness this morning. I think it's a topic that I struggle with. So when I struggle with to put some light on the situation, Romans 3. So I'm going to read a few. So if you're going to go with me, I think you're going to struggle because I'm going to go through them. But if you write down, that's cool. Although if you're kind of ninja on the cell phone, you can maybe do it. But Romans 3:23 to 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as the propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. We know this verse very well. All have sinned. And one of the things that Christians have struggled through the ages is this idea that we need to pretend that we are perfect. There's nobody in this building that is not part of Romans 3:23 when it says all fall short. So for unbelievers, if you're an unbeliever today, I want to remind you that you have been born in sin. Ephesians tells us that we are dead in our trespasses. Sin is not something that we do, it is who we are. And that sounds like bad news, but it's excellent news. Because whenever there's a problem, whenever redemption is needed, we find in the Bible that we have a Savior. It takes me to 1 John 1:9. If we say we have no sin, We deceive ourselves. So listen here, he's writing to Christians here. If you say that we have no sin, or pretend that you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. This wonderful, wonderful message of forgiveness. I mean, we get so used to asking for forgiveness, but do you realize what a blessing and what a joy it is to be forgiven? Day in and day out, to stand before God and know that you have messed up. But there's forgiveness. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." The Lord wants to forgive our sins. We need forgiveness. You and I need forgiveness. Sometimes we get used to our sin, but God wants us to know that He will forgive us. Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Isn't that good news? Good news. Praise the Lord, he does not forgive like we do. The way I forgive, if I had to forgive, well, if you had to rely on my forgiveness for salvation, you would be in trouble. Because even this week, you know how these things are. If you want to preach on something, you better get ready. Eh? Friday, I was like, my wife had to calm me down. You know, I'm like, I'm going to take them on. I'm going to tell them what I think. Oh, we need forgiveness. But we've received forgiveness so that we know how to give it. Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Repentance is a wonderful thing and we should encourage one another to repent. So if you are sitting here today and you're struggling with a sin in your life, I want you to remember that God is telling you today to repent. To turn away from that sin. We need forgiveness. Last verse. Not of the sermon, just of this point. Don't get excited. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Let's never get used to that forgiveness God offers. And let us never let us haste to go and run to the throne of grace to find that forgiveness from God. We need forgiveness from God, you and I. But we also need forgiveness from others. And we need to ask for forgiveness from others. Now, I know Baptists hate doing weird things in church. So this might be awkward, but we're going to do it anyway. Because, hey, I'm leaving after this, so I'm going to ask you to say something out loud. And it's very difficult to pronounce. Some of you really struggle with this. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to ask you to say, I'm sorry. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. I'm sorry. Wow, wow. You guys are... Isn't it amazing how difficult those words are sometimes? It's difficult to say. I won't say it. Husbands and wives walk around the house with cheeks puffed. When my wife is angry, she washes the dishes in such a way that I'm scared they will break. When I am angry, I just ignore everybody. Go in my own little place. You know what the problem is with I'm sorry? The enemy of I'm sorry is I'm important. If we're honest, isn't that the problem? We struggle to say I'm sorry because we think we're important. And if you realize that you're not that important, saying sorry becomes much becomes easier to say. Now, we often find that people in the competition as well, who's going to say sorry first? You know, I'm not going to say sorry first. Children, by the way, parents, teach your children from a young age to say sorry out loud. Because you know how it works with children. Come say sorry. Sorry, hey, how? No, say sorry. Sorry. But then, no, say sorry properly. I'm sorry. With an attitude. So teach them to say they're sorry from a young age. Husbands, men, with the men in the building. Our responsibility, your responsibility to say sorry first. The head of the house leads and also leads when it comes time to say sorry. Ladies, you're welcome. To say sorry means I recognize that I am not perfect. And I recognize that you are not perfect. And I recognize that I'm not the most important person in this relationship or in this world. And I'm going to apologize. I read in Philippians that the same attitude must be in us that that Christ Jesus had when he took on the form of a slave, isn't it? He was humiliated, becoming just another person on earth, a man. We are not better than Christ. When he hung on that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Let us say sorry. Maybe there's someone that you need to apologize to, that you know you're wrong, but you refuse to admit it. Can I speak to the older folks? No, but I'm much older than they are. They must say sorry to me. You know, your children mess up and you're like, "I'm the parent." They need to phone me and say sorry. No, Christians say sorry first. That's the example of Christ that we should have in our own lives and in the world, in the workplace. If you've messed up, say, "I'm sorry." Don't try and hide it. It's funny, when we try and avoid it, things never get better. Things never get better when we do not say sorry. All right, so we all need forgiveness. My second main point is everybody needs to forgive. We all need to forgive. Now, if you don't know what forgiveness is, let me first tell you what it is not. Forgiveness is not to pretend that nothing happened. Oh, I see that a lot. You know, we pretend nothing happened. We're angry. I'm angry at you. You're angry at me. But we're going to pretend nothing happened. That's not forgiveness. That's not biblical forgiveness. Forgiveness is not the absence of anger at sin. We're expected to be happy with people's sin. It's okay to be angry at sin. Anger against sin is good, as long as it doesn't brew and stay and develops into anger at a person. Last thing that anger is not. Anger is not the absence of serious consequences for sin. Hebrews 12, verse 6 and 10 tells us, "Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he received. Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." You see, consequences. There needs to be consequences. When we forgive people, we do not say, "Okay, let's just move on and there's no consequences." Imagine if parents forgave their children like this. Imagine if you have small children in your house and every time they mess up, you say, "I forgive you. Go forth and play." That child will be on the U.S. terror list in less than 2 months. He or she will do whatever they want. Isn't that so? So forgiveness is not, there's no consequences. But let me give you some tips on forgiveness from the Bible that might help you. You know, the first thing is it's difficult to forgive. Let's admit that. But we also need to remember how to forgive. And for that, I want to read Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, verse 9-13. Pray then like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And everybody says amen, right? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. "Give us today our daily bread." Oh, thank you, Lord. "And forgive us our debts." Well, great. That's wonderful. "But then, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil." Verse 14, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Your trespasses. Well, listen to that for a second. And let's pretend that Jesus meant what he said. Because that's serious, isn't it? I mean, we just said we needed forgiveness. We need forgiveness from God. And the Bible says there's two things I think Jesus is telling us here. So Christians want to forgive. Christians forgive. That's part of the character and the fruit from the Holy Spirit in our lives, is we want to forgive. And when you do not want to forgive, don't think that God will just allow that to go unseen. In your heart, the battle is between me and this person. But there's a third person involved, that's the Holy God, that you need to remember. This is not an empty threat. God will not forgive those who will not forgive those who sin against them. He refuses to do that. And so that's a kind of motivation to me, and I hope to you, to say, Lord, you forgave me. Look what you have written off. Look what you have done on my behalf, in my place. You took the punishment for my sin. And I'm not going to go into great depth of this, but we have the parable of the guy who has owed millions to the king, and the king said, let's write it off. And he gets outside, and the guy owes him a few cents, and he wants to throw him in jail. It's an exaggeration, that story. Millions, just a few cents. That's why God is so offended when we will not forgive, because we have been forgiven. If He has forgiven us, how can we refuse to forgive other people? Can I ask you a question this morning, honest question? What will it take for you not to forgive another person? What is that thing that you say, I will never? For God, it was nothing. He forgave everything. So here's the tips on how to forgive. Resist thoughts of revenge. Romans 12:19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Yeah, we like revenge, eh? I mean, even a good movie, if there's revenge in, we like it. You know, I see when my children was growing up, and the one would have a go at the other, I would always try and teach them, don't be silly, man. If he hits you, and you hit him back, what do? I hit both of you. You know? If you don't hit him back, and just run to me and tell me, Daddy, he hit me, he's going to be the only one that gets a hiding. Isn't that so? So why would you not let... Who's stronger, you or I? Daddy's stronger. Yeah, leave him to me. I'm going to give him a proper hiding. Now, it's common sense. That's what I call it. Common sense. If you want your brother to hurt more, leave him to me. Don't you do it. Great parenting there. Resist thoughts of revenge. I'm going to get you back. Imagine if Christ, this was the attitude of Christ. Man, I love the psalm when he says, oh Lord, you do not reckon the sins that I commit every day. You don't hold it against me. You do not punish me for my sins, or according to my sins. No, let's not take revenge in our hands. Let's pray for them. And like David sometimes, David, Lord, please, you get them. In the Psalms, have you read it in the Psalms? Let it belong to the Lord. Wish them well. Woo! You heard right. Listen, Luke 6:28. Bless those who curse you. Yeah, I wish that verse wasn't in the Bible. Bless those. And I mean, when it says bless, it doesn't mean bless like I'm blessed. It means wish them well. Pray for them. Pray that God will open doors for them. Wish them well, because you know what happens when we do not forgive? The other person goes on with their life and you're the one that's suffering. You've got the ball and chain. They're living free. And it's not only in your own heart, but there's a, like we heard earlier, there's a fight with God. The third one piece of advice I'll give you this morning is have empathy when they suffer. Proverbs 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. A few years ago, we were on the highway, and I'm going 120 like a good citizen. And the next moment, I see a guy flashing lights. You know who you are. Some of you, yes. Flashing me lights. Like, what's wrong with you, man? I'm going 120. You can't go faster. But he comes, you know, I humbly go out of the way. And he comes by. I'm like, imagine my surprise and joy. A few kilometers on, with him standing on the side of the road with a speed cop. Writing him a ticket. I went by like, yes. Best day ever. That's not godly. That's not a godly attitude. I had to repent. Because that's our normal human nature. To rejoice when other people suffer. Especially those we're struggling to forgive. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Pray for them. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now I think there's a spiritual lesson here. Excuse me. Because I found when I pray for people who I see as my enemies, something happens in my heart. Have you experienced this? God changes my heart from being angry at them to loving them even more and more to care. I even care more about them. And there's a secret in this. When we pray for our enemies, there's a spiritual awakening in our hearts that probably comes from the love of Christ that's been poured out into our hearts. And I pray for them regularly. I have learned to pray for taxis and not try and, you know, have a go at them with my car. You know, I mean, I'm just being real here this morning. Because these are the things we struggle with daily, isn't it? But since I've been praying for those wonderful people on the road, and the guys with the BMWs, and that come across the yellow line in the mornings, since I've started to pray, I started to pray for them, guess what? I'm not angry anymore. So then I drive on my car and my heart is like, these people, you know, and there's no joy in that. There's no upliftment in that. It doesn't honor Christ. Why not pray for your enemies? And I'm not talking about that kind of prayer, so Lord, kill them. Lord, may they suffer severely. Because that's the way we want to pray. But I mean, I think the Bible tells us here, an honest prayer. Because God sees your heart. You can't fake this. To really pray for them. So Lord, don't know that person, but will you be with them? If they're not a believer, Lord, save them. It's a different way of living, as Christians need to realize. We live differently. Forgiveness is not just a moment. Forgiveness is a way of life. And when you do not obey it, your life and those around you will suffer the consequences. Seek reconciliation with them. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And again, this is not difficult, especially if you're the victim. If you're the one that people are aiming their arrows at, it's difficult to then go and say, listen, can we sort this out? Can we? Is there something we can do? And I want to give you just a little bit of advice here. Now, if you read the book Proverbs, you'll find a lot of advice on how to speak to people. But some of the stuff that Proverbs teaches us is be gentle. A calm word. Don't go in there fighting. Because people want to sort things out. We want to reconcile. You come in there. I'm just tired of this whole thing. Can we just sort it out? That's no way. That's not the biblical way and a loving way to sort out relationships. I think we go in there and say, I'm sorry you feel hurt. Can we pray together? Can I pray for you? Is there anything I can help you with? Because I want us to be at peace. And I want you to know I've been praying for you. And I want to tell you, if there's any way I can serve you, you let me know. Imagine that. There's an unbeliever who finds a Christian. And he sees that testimony and that attitude in a Christian. Won't it make an impact? Surely. What about your family? Oh, families. Oi, oi, oi. It's almost Christmas now again. You know, Christmas time, everybody's like, yeah, Christmas family. But during that Christmas time, it's like, oh, we don't like one another that much after Christmas. You love them. You love them. And you forgive them. And you reconcile with them. And see the difference that will make in your family and in your relationship. Christians make the mistake to preach. Especially at your grown children. You want to preach at them. Love them. Trust God to work in their hearts. But you love them. Be willing to come to their relief. Exodus 23:4. If you meet your enemy's ox or donkey, or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. It doesn't say you shall kill it and take it home and enjoy his meat. So imagine this. Remember this. If you meet your enemy, guys, enemy. You meet your enemy's ox. And he doesn't know it's missing. It's you and the ox there. The Bible says you take it back. Now there's a reason the Bible says you take it back. Because the Bible knows we will take it home. He says, you take it back. I don't care what he said. I don't care how your feelings are hurt. You take it back and you go love him. Because that's what Christians do. Why? Because Christ has shown us. Christ has given us an example to follow. Now I've got two more. Are you still awake? Two more. Forget the past. Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already obtained this, I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ has made it me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, there's a sense of moving on in life. A bunch of you are stuck in the past. You are stuck in the past. And this is how forgiveness works. I forgive you now, because I often find people say, but I thought I forgave that person. But then I saw them the other day, and I tell them, remember, forgiveness is not a one-day action, because when you ask God with a genuine heart, Lord, I forgive this person, please help me. You have to remain and live in that forgiveness every day. Every time you see them and you get angry, you live in that forgiveness. Lord, I want to live according to what your word wants me to be like. I want to act like Christ Jesus. Help me. And you keep on forgiving. It's the present continuous tense. You forgive, but you keep on forgiving. I wish there was a pill I could give you to swallow and it would be easy. But you are the one with the help of Christ and that has to forgive and remain in that state of forgiveness. But a lot of people think I forgave, so I can just, why am I still feeling this way? Last one, love more, love more. You want to forgive people, love more. Be kind to one another, Ephesians 4:32. Tender-hearted. Listen to this. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Just simple, isn't it? I love this word, tender-hearted. It's like, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Your battle is not against other people. So stop fighting with other people. Stop being angry and forgive. Now we're going to have communion in a few moments. And in 1 Corinthians 11, we find the apostle talk about the way the church was not using communion as they should. And he tells them, listen here guys, things are not right. Things are not right. Jeremiah 8, the people of Israel say, we're at peace, we're at peace. But the Lord says, there's no peace. Everything is going well, everything is going well. But nothing is going well. If we use communion, but our hearts are filled with unforgiveness, we are open to God's judgment. In fact, Paul says some people got sick and others died. And again, we read that and we think, shame, he's just saying that. Listen, some people got sick and others died because they used communion with hearts that was not right with God. So I want to challenge you this morning to be a Christ follower. I want you to know that God forgives you when you ask. When you repent and you go to that throne of grace and you ask for forgiveness, God forgives you completely. He never thinks of it again. And it's not because He forgets, it's because He chooses to not think about it. But we need to say sorry, and we need to receive that sorry. If someone says sorry to you, beware. Don't say, well, I'm not going to forgive you. Don't do it. Can I close with one verse? And then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to partake in the communion. Mark 12:30-31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second to this is you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no other commandments greater than these. Let's pray. Lord, we ask your help. Father, we struggle to forgive others. And we see there's a reason that you, often in the Bible, you tell us to forgive. You repeat it, Lord, so many times, because you know how difficult it is for our own hearts to be humbled. Lord, I admit that the times that I struggle to forgive, those are the times where I struggle to be humble before the Lord. Where I think that I'm more important than I really am. Help us all with that. If there's anybody here who, Lord, has not come to that throne of grace and asked for God's forgiveness, would you be gracious to them this morning? Would you grant them salvation and faith? And help them to stop running away from you and run towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What we're going to do is I'm going to just read Mark 14 for you. Then I'm going to give some time of just quiet prayer for you and the Lord to sort things out. And then I'm going to ask the guys helping with the communion to come forward. Mark 14:22. And I don't want to rush this. Let us just take a breath. We don't want to rush past communion. It's the end of the service. Let's just get it done. Let's not rush. Let's take time and think about what we're about to do. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, gave it to them, and they all drank. And he said to them, "This is my blood. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." You see, the forgiveness we spoke of earlier, this is the way we have access to that forgiveness. It's because God came down to earth to die on a cross for your sins and for my sins. I struggle to understand that. I struggle to think how Christ could. The other day I was preaching in Luke when Jesus was baptized by John. And it dawned on me, Jesus stood in line with all the rest of the people to be baptized. Isn't that amazing? Stood in line with all the normal people. The people he would die on a cross for in a few years. He stood in line with them. Okay, that's the God we serve. And the forgiveness he gives is complete and final. So I want you to just there where you are. Let's just forget about the food at home, it's going to be fine. Let's forget about all the rest of the things that you came in here with. And I want you just for a few, maybe a minute or two, just speak to God. If there's things you need to confess, do it now. So don't say, "I'm not going to use communion because I'm still angry at so and so." No. Confess. Ask God's forgiveness and forgive now. Why put it off? Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll go further. Just there where you are.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.